Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Pete LePage, Justin Tyler, and Alex Albin.
Hey! Yeah.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Good evening. Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we do not know how to walk on stage.
That was embarrassing.
Pretty amazing.
For a show.
Welcome to Boothman. Booth Man, thank you so much for coming to the show. Let's give a round of applause for Boothman.
Close call with Boothman.
So, first thing we wanted to address, this is our comic book show. Yeah. We do a lot of shows, you guys.
We're
very
showmen.
Busy. On the Nerdist channel, we do a movie review show called Biggest Summer Ever. I don't know if you noticed, the summer's over, so that show, for the time being at least, is over. But we decided to close it on a bang, doing a review of Riddick, the new Vin Diesel movie.
Big fans of Riddick.
You guys, mediocre Riddick fans, very exciting.
Yeah. Everyone's a Riddick.
Oh, boy.
Save that for the show, you should have done that.
Yeah, I know.
So... we didn't particularly like the movie. I think I liked it more than you guys.
But yeah, but you're an idiot.
There you go. I think conservatively saying we ripped it a new one.
Yep.
Right.
And then the commenters ripped us a new one.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Every single comment was like, how dare you guys attack Vin Diesel and his labor of love.
Poor little Vin Diesel with his indie film Riddick.
Yeah.
Who shot he worked in his own garage.
Which most of them haven't even seen it yet, but they were just, I mean... said some nasty things.
Yeah, I know. Well, he showed up to Hollywood in a beat-up truck with the script for the third Riddick installment and just tried to make a career. And, boy, we ruined it for him.
Yeah, so we wanted to take this time to publicly apologize.
No.
Vin Diesel.
Let's go get these people.
Oh, yeah.
We get time we finally turn the tables on the commenters.
Yeah, we're going to find you and then beat you up.
Right.
Okay. I was just saying maybe leave some nice comments.
What they don't understand is we can see in the dark.
Yeah,
so we're going to kill them.
Yeah. The great superpower of Riddick himself.
Yeah, so there you go.
Very good
always
vision.
Start a show off by attacking your fans.
I think that's a good idea.
Loosely
if you do want to check out the show, check that out, youtube.com/nerds. But let's talk about this live show that we're about to do right now,
that's
guys.
Why
I'm very
you call
excited
it live.
About the guests that we have on tonight. One of them is a TV critic for Vulture at New York Magazine, and the other one is the writer of Brain Boy and Conan for Dark Horse. Ladies and gentlemen, Margaret Lyons and Fred Van Lenten!
Yeah!
Come on up.
Come on down.
Come on over.
Welcome, guys. Welcome.
Come on over.
Guys, hey, thank you for coming.
Nice to be here.
All right.
Here, we're going to test Fred's mic. Hey, Fred, is Fred's mic working?
Yeah, let's say it is.
Good.
You know excellent.
What? Yeah.
I got to say, this show is off to a rousing start.
Great. That's why you come out live, guys.
Absolutely. Guys, thank you so much for coming on the show. Margaret, let's chat with you for a little bit. So, TV critic for Vulture, but we're going to go back to your childhood a little bit. Right?
Ooh.
Oh, shit.
Your experiences impressive. With Watchmen.
Oh, that's not quite my childhood, but it was my brother's childhood. I'm 11 years older than my brother, so we didn't get to share a lot of books and movies and stuff when we were growing up, except like mostly Jurassic Park, I would say. It's like the backbone of our relationship.
Sure. Wow. That's not a lot to build a family around.
Or it's all you need, depending on which way you look at it.
It's a really good movie.
Nature always finds a way.
Yeah, mine is built around Dumb and Dumber, so we all have our thing.
But then about 5 years ago, I moved back to New York, and I was like in a dark time. And I was living with my parents. And I was working at a magazine, but I was like subbing in for a man who had recently died. So I was like logging into an email system every day with like a dead guy's email password and stuff. It was like so horrible.
They didn't give you a living email
address? No, because I was just permalance. I wasn't there full time, so it wasn't worth it to set up a new email for me.
That's terrible. Wow.
And I was sitting...
His password was B-O-O-O-O-O-O, right?
Yeah. I'm here.
What a hacker.
1111.
I'm right behind you.
Never forget me.
Yeah. I mean, that's nice whether you're alive or dead.
That's just a good password.
Yeah.
And then I was sitting this far away from a guy who had dumped me.
Wow.
So it was just like a really bad time. And my little brother, so I was like, 25 or 26. My brother's, 14 or 15, and he was like, oh, I have this, Marge, I really think you'd like this book. And I was like, I want to like anything. Please help me. And so he gave me Watchmen, and I did really like it, and I would read it at lunch by myself in my sad office with my ex-boyfriend and dead guy email. And he was just like, oh, I do really like it. And we talked about it a lot, and we like wound up exchanging other books. I was like, Tony, you should read Welcome to the Monkey House. Like, that's another good book. Like, read it in high school. That's the time. And then, so when the movie came out, we were like really excited to go see it together. And then we went to go see it together. And it's like, okay. You know, it's like, starts out okay. And then during the sex scene, and it's like a 15-year-old boy leans over to me. He's like, this is dog shit. Like, this is dog shit, dude. Like, this is
During the sex scene he leaned over?
Yeah. Wow. They're playing that, like, Leonard Cohen song and stuff. And I was like, that's not a... That's a sad song.
That's not.
So I sort of feel like even in my time of darkness, this like bright beacon still got sort of tainted by the end of it. It still kind of got sucked into my sadness black hole from that time of my life.
Oh, wow. Well, that's a sweet story.
What an uplifting tale.
Now, as a TV critic, there's a more comic books on TV or being developed for TV lately. What's your opinion on that? What's your take? Why is that happening now?
Part of it is just the same reason that it's happening in movies, that it makes it easier to sell overseas. You have sort of an ostensibly built-in fan base, and you also have a lot of shows for whom that's really successful. You know, I think everyone looks at Walking Dead and is like, how do we do that?
Yeah.
Maybe one answer is, like, have source material. You can either be inspired by, use directly, or diverge from and talk about what would make for a longer story, more compelling story. But then, you know, it's not a guarantee by any stretch of the imagination. One of my favorite shows of the last, like, 15 years was based on a comic book. It's called The Middleman. It was on ABC Family. It was great. It was so good. And that, you know, had one not-at-all-watched season. They announced today that they're going to do another series of comic books starting on, like, Kickstarter tomorrow or whatever. But... So that was exciting for me. It's like, I think it just is the same reason for movies, but it's harder for TV. It's hard to be a successful TV show. You can have a long life as a movie, and you play overseas, and you get sort of released on demand, and sort of have like a lot of time to make up your money. And then for a TV show, there's sort of a different business model.
Now, Pete's a huge fan of Arrow. Have you reviewed that show?
I have watched that show.
Pete has a whole corner of the show, Pete's Arrow corner.
Oh, do you put on a tank top?
No, I'm not that buff. It would kind of be
really
sad.
It's a really tank toppy show.
It is.
Now that's a review I can get by.
And that's on a tank toppy network. I mean, to be the tank toppiest show on the CW is a real triumph. Sorry, Supernatural. Sleep at the wheel.
So a question that we get on the show all the time is, what comic book should be developed into a TV show that isn't currently?
Ooh. That's tough. I mean,
Watchmen, maybe?
Great TV show. That'd be
a crazy TV show.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I think in terms of what I want to see the most on TV, it would be like... something with strong female characters. I think we've had sort of Wonder Woman has tried and tried. There was a failed Wonder Woman TV show a couple years ago that was horrible. I don't know if anyone saw the pilot. It leaked online. The script was awful. It was awful from like the sort of get-go, but I would most want to see something with women, something with maybe like a range of, say, body types, body abilities, maybe more... gay and trans characters, you know, sort of something that I don't need, like, another cop show. I don't want another show about, like, a serial killer or, like, anything that has, like, a sheriff in it. Like, I'm, like, totally...
But they're the law.
What?
But they're the law around those.
So what about... What
and they
about
do things their
like,
way.
Yeah. What if they were... You didn't mention this. What if they were doctors? I mean, that would be pretty original and great, right?
Smart.
Yeah. Have super women doctors?
Super women doctors. And then maybe the patients sort of teach us something about ourselves.
Wow.
A little bit of how to love. Yeah.
I wish the doctors were to find and lose love in the crucible of the medical experience, you know? You know what I'm talking about?
The crucible?
The crucible, yeah.
Yeah, Arthur Schmiller is the crucible.
No. That's a word that doesn't mean just one thing. It's a red lowercase C word.
Okay. Fred, let's chat with you about all the stuff you have going on,
cool.
Which is, as usual, a lot of stuff.
I try to keep off the streets.
Yeah. So first thing, Brain Boy from Dark Horse.
Yes.
What is that?
The first issue comes out tomorrow, although we had a serial in Dark Horse present previously. Brain Boy is about Matt Price, who's a psychic secret service agent in a world where there are psychics. This is confirmed. And it's a reboot of an old 60s series from Dell Comics. And he's a young kid who's been raised by a corporation to be a special snowflake. So he's always been told he's the greatest thing ever, and he acts like it. So he's... The joke I had on Twitter was that it really should be called Psychic Asshole, because that's really what the character's like. But, you know, he is a he does have the proverbial heart of gold, and he gets thrust into very strange situations. The first series, this first sort of full series we're doing is about him getting involved with a CIA Secret Service pissing match during the United Nations General Assembly, which is, for the use of New Yorkers here, I'm sure you know, every September... Every head of state descends on New York City and makes parking horrible and kills traffic and pisses everybody
off.
It's
really awesome, yeah.
And what I didn't know before I researched the series was the Secret Service has to protect all those people. Yeah. Like, they don't just protect the president. They also protect dignitaries on U.S. soil. Yeah. So
you guys just figure it out. I don't know.
And so
stay out of the Bronx. So.
Yeah, don't get on that train. And so, so Matt is assigned, Brain Boy is assigned to protect the head of a large South American oil producer who is being targeted by the CIA, being targeted by some other shadowy groups, and has some nasty secrets of his own.
Now, when you add a detail like that to the world, actually, quick question back, when did people discover that there were psychics in this world?
In the world, it's not very long ago, a couple of years.
Okay. So how much does that change the world, and how much does that change how people operate? And how much do you as a writer have to sketch out in advance?
Well, I mean, I'm sort of cynical enough to that because there's only a few dozen psychics in the world, they were immediately co-opted by the rich, as many things are. And so, you know, the world is that the sort of inciting incident was during the Arab Spring, the king of Saudi Arabia was killed by a psychic, so this freaked out everybody in the 1%. Governments everywhere, and so everybody was sort of scrambling. And so now it's sort of psychic warfare between psychic terrorists and psychic people working for the government. And Matt is working for the government, but because he's psychic, he can sort of read your mind and learn things that people don't want you to know. So the government doesn't trust him. He doesn't trust the company he works for because they think that they might have whacked his parents. Uh-huh. They're like, no, no, it was a car accident. Sure it was. So it's a lot of backstabbing and paranoia. It turns out being psychic only makes you more paranoid.
Whoa. Yeah.
That's like being a comic book writer.
Yeah, right? I'm pretty paranoid. Well, I'm glad we're up against this wall.
Yeah. That's the way we do it.
Yep.
No one behind you except for that old ghost named Lance.
Other title you're working on for Dark Horse, Conan and the I promised you I would forget the title, and I did.
Yeah, Black Circle.
I'm adapting a Robert E. Howard story called The People of the Black Circle for a miniseries for Dark Horse, which I think the main reason it's happening is because it's being painted by Ariel Olivetti, who's an absolutely brilliant artist,
nice. Yeah.
Who I worked with on a little bit called Hercules.
Yeah. Nice.
And so we're back together again. It's been super fun. He was just born. He's got kind of a real nice Boris Vallejo touch to his work. For those of you, little illustration shot out there.
crowd's going absolutely crazy here. They're just losing. The Vallejos are in the
get
house tonight.
Get the hoses out.
Yeah.
So it's a really good story. I mean, Howard did a lot of sort of mediocre Conan stories, which is just he finds a naked girl and saves her from a monster and stabs the monster and then he goes home. This is a story with a lot more depth to it. It's set in the Indian the India and Pakistan and Afghanistan of Hyboria.
Topical.
Exactly. And it's amazing how much in the story, like the Khyber Pass and forts and stuff, that were all actually real life things that he sort of incorporated.
Really?
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Like real names and stuff?
Yeah, totally.
Oh, that's weird.
And so it was cool because it was like, it had a really strong female character, which if you've ever read Robert E. Howard's Conan story, that's they're kind of rare. They're like in a minority.
Which naked girl should I go after, the redhead or the brown haired?
Well, she gets
one.
To keep her clothes on for most of the story, so I was like,
congratulations.
Good for her. Drawn to that. She's strong.
Cool. So what's motivation. It like taking on a character? I mean, you've written a bunch of comic book characters, so I imagine, like, Marvel or iconic comic book characters, so I imagine it must be a similar experience. But when you're writing Conan, there's been so much Conan stuff. How do you make it different? How do you do your own take on it?
Well, I had not read a single thing about Conan before they gave me the job. Wow. I think my connection to Ariel was the primary reason I got it. But I really enjoyed the stories. I love H.P. Lovecraft, who was, like, one of Robert Howard's best friends, and they were contemporaries, and they wrote stories together.
I bet he was a weird best friend to have.
Well, he didn't leave the house, and he lived with a lot of cats. But on the other hand, Robert E. Howard killed himself at 30 because his mom died. So, these are not people.
Couple of weird.
Exactly. Perhaps they were, in fact, on the same wavelength. You know what I'm saying? So Conan, what I like about Conan, and just, I mean, the main thing I did is I just read the story. And I would not read any adaptations of it. I just read the story. I just saw the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie for the first time, like, on Sunday.
Wow.
On
Which one?
iTunes.
How did it match up?
It's crazy. It's kind of great in its own right. What I found kind of fascinating about it was that John Milius wrote and directed Conan the Barbarian, and he also wrote Apocalypse Now, and at the end of Conan the Barbarian, Arnold Schwarzenegger kind of sneaks up on James Earl Jones and chops his head off, almost identically to the way Martin Sheen chops Marlon Brando's head off in Apocalypse Now, and it's like, this guy's got some kind of head issues. I don't know what,
he hates
but it's
heads.
Really strange.
I bet there's a really good documentary to be made about the background, what went on while they were filming Conan.
And so because he did Red Dawn too, didn't he? So are there any beheadings in Red Dawn?
Probably a ton.
Does Jennifer Grey bite it in a really nasty way?
Anybody? No, wow.
Yeah, if you watch
Red Dawn,
that's a very definitive no over there.
Yeah, not in that. But if you watch the director's cut of Dirty Dancing, she gets her head chopped off.
Oh, damn. John Milius, just leave it alone for crying out loud. Conan is a great character because he's a force of nature. You know, he just puts his mind to something. He has very little self-reflection, self-doubt, and just kind of, barrels his way through it, and if you
like Arnold Schwarzenegger himself,
that's kind of why Arnold and the Terminator, right? To sort of just get out of my way.
How do you give a character like that an arc then, or do you not? Is he just sort of like the Punisher, Pete? A character with no arc.
Oh, you asshole!
Oh, a trap was laid for Pete LePage, and he fell right in.
The neat thing about the story is that he does have an arc in this particular story because he's met this.
He has an arc.
Point LePage.
The female character, Yasmina, the princess, of course. She's the Devi Aventia. Can't pronounce any of these names. Just trust me. It's old-timey India.
Sure.
She basically wants him to avenge her brother. He doesn't want to. There's a whole bunch of complications. It sort of turns into everyone in Pakistan, Afghanistan, and India trying to kill Conan. And he wants to check up with the princess, but she's not necessarily into it, and cause she's a princess, and he's a guy in the loincloth with a sword. It's interesting.
So you do the math.
In other words, it's a story where Conan does not necessarily get what he wants. He wants something he can't have.
Nice. Ah. Cool.
And everybody wants it. Very quickly, you're working on a bunch of other stuff. Anything in particular you want to plug beyond the Dark Horse stuff?
I'm doing Archer Armstrong, which is a great sort of Da Vinci. Thank you. Which is a great sort of Da Vinci Code, Assassin's Creed sort of parody book about a innocent assassin and an immortal strong man going across the world, smashing heads and solving mysteries and getting into trouble.
A modern day Abbott and Costello.
There you go. I'm doing a book called The Mocking Dead, which shockingly is a zombie comedy. And the first one just came out from Dynamite, and that's a lot of fun. And there's more stuff coming down the pipe.
That's awesome. Very
because
cool.
I got it, like I said, I got to stay off the streets.
I know, you're so close to the streets.
It's very close. Right, take it there. To the streets, you guys. And we're going to take it to our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah.
Primo.
All right. In the stack, we're going to talk about some books that we particularly like this week. Margaret, if you don't mind passing me the books, thank you very much. First thing we're going to talk about, this is Pete's pick, Battle of the Atom, Part 2. All new X-Men. Yes, we switched, Justin.
Oh, yeah, well, great news.
Yes, Pete and I are friends. So we're going to talk about all new X-Men number 16. This is Battle of the Atom Part 2. Yep. The Atoms are battling. We don't know which one is going to win.
I bet it's
carbon
hydrogen.
Atom.
What was crazy about this is how well Marvel is handling this kind of like time-jumping madness. And if you would try to explain it to me, I would just say to you, that's stupid. I don't want to read it. But they're doing it
just
so
like
well
anything.
That it's very enjoyable to read. Like if you would have said to me, the original, this is really a lot of, okay.
There you go.
If you would have said to me, the original X-Men come back in time, I would have been like, F you, I don't want to read it. But they've been doing such a great job with it. But then if you would have told me, okay, the original X-Men come in time, back in time, and then X-Men from the future come back in time to stop the original X-Men coming back in time, I would have been like, F you, I don't want to read it. But they're doing such a great job with this that I am reading
well, very quickly,
it.
And what I else? Like,
and then you
what
say,
else?
F everyone else. I yeah. do want to read this.
Pete, very quickly, could you run down all the other stuff that on the surface sounds really bad, but should convince people to buy it?
That would be a lot.
Yeah. All right, great.
Well, stick around for our post show where Pete shits on everything.
Yeah.
Well, what did you think about this, Justin? Did you like this crossover so far?
I think this is great. This harkens back to crossovers from my youth, like Executioner's Song, one of my favorites. And this has that same vibe where it's just like a bunch of characters are thrown in and they have to figure it out. There's going to be some mystery here. To recap sort of what Pete was saying was effed up, The X-Men from the past are in the present. We already know that. But X-Men from the future with an agenda, including Xavier's grandson, who looks like a real liar.
Yeah, he
looks
does.
Like a liar.
Totally.
And they're in the mix. Thanks for backing me up on that.
Yes.
they're
show
the mix.
Them. You tell them.
It's great. A lot of action, and things are moving quickly. I love it.
Are they moving quickly, though?
Well, this is the second issue we're reviewing, so at this point, yes.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
How good much, dodge. Good dodge. I like that.
How much faster could this be moving in the second
There's,
issue?
I don't know. You bring up the Executioner song and a lot of those X-Men events from the 90s. I feel like there was a very clear villain from the beginning. Whether right. it was Strife and whether you like all the spikes that Strife had and all the stuff that was going on with that.
That's how you know he's a villain. Too many spikes.
Yeah, but there was always some big bad who showed up like on the last page of the first issue. And I wanted a little bit of that. I like this. The writing is great. The first two parts are written by Brian Bennis. We've talked about what
this
an
guy's
excellent
a good
job.
Writer.
He's good. I hope somebody picks him up really soon for an exclusive contract.
Yeah, for the majors. He should go to the
that'd
bigs.
Be great. But he's been doing a great job with this title. It's a lot of fun to read, but yeah, I'm not...
Throw some spikes on some costumes. Make it obvious and predictable. Is
where
Alice
is Strife? That's what I want to know. What's going on with Strife?
Right,
what's his deal?
It's right in
he
the name.
He hasn't shown up in comics in like 15 years, but I'm sure he has to show up here at some point.
It's right in the name. You know he's bad.
I would want to... what's great is Margaret's picking up these books for the first time, so I would like to check in. What did you think of this one?
This is for Margaret's Comic Corner.
Yeah, Margaret's Comic Corner.
Yeah, this is literally the third comic book I've... ever read.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Watch my
great
and then
news.
One more in there. I like the part at the end with Jean Grey because she's so sad.
Yeah.
And there's a twist and tenderness. And you said you wanted someone to surprise be at the end. And I feel like literally that's the end of this comic book, isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
In your face.
Yeah, but that
she doesn't even read comics. She faced you. Man, it's like the third comic ever.
We missed a huge opportunity. He's out of here. He can't walk off because he's trapped by this wall.
Okay. Well, the thing that I do think is interesting about this is a character.
Oh, and he dodges. He got no response.
This is a character-driven event, which I think is interesting, but. I think what Marvel really needs right now is a Strife-driven event, and I think we all agree with that.
Yeah, we all agree with that.
You need Strife, you need Mr. Sinister, you need
all
the Morlocks.
You need that character just named Evil. you need the character Villain with a capital V.
Yeah.
There
all
is.
Great characters.
Wait, what comic book is there a character named Villain, or is that a movie?
That's my spec script where it's
no, that's Expendables 2. Expendables 2, the Jean-Claude Van Damme's character, thank you, Charles Hill, is named Villain.
Are you saying the Expendables was a little on the nose with their writing?
I'm saying it was very subtle, and Sylvester Stallone has been subtle throughout his
entire... Starting with the title.
what would you guys say? Pick this up?
I've been loving this, and Alex is wrong.
All right, there we go.
I'm sorry if I'm sounding like Pete LePage.
Also, I liked it. But, okay, Superior Spider-Man number 17. And that is Justin's pick.
Great.
Yep, definitely
Spider-Man
Justin's pick.
Spider-Man 2099 is back.
Spider-Man 2099.
And yet, still no Strife.
Still no Strife in here, except for the emotional strife between Spider-Man 2099 and regular Spider-Man, as I'm calling him. Now, I love Spider-Man 2099. Back in the day, it was a favorite comic of mine. In this, it's great to see them crossing over. And I'll tell you what, I was feeling real LePage-y when I read this because I'm sick of Doc Ock Spider-Man.
Yeah!
Ow. When these characters meet, I want it to be regular Spider-Man. And this is the first issue I felt real fatigue with villain, but capital V villain Spider-Man.
Not villain Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dr. Villain.
Welcome to the dark side, baby.
What did you think about this, Pete?
Yeah,
I couldn't. Knowing what you thought.
I couldn't agree with Justin more.
You're a huge Spidey 2099 fan?
No.
Oh. So you could agree a little less, probably.
Okay, sure, sure. My point is, I'm sick and tired of Superior Spider-Man. Enough of this bull
she's
already.
She's the biggest supporter.
Let's move on already. It's been too long. But I want my Spider-Man back. But I wasn't a huge fan of the Spider-Man from the future coming to this time to see annoying Peter Parker playing baseball. What the.
That's a fine summer activity.
Yeah, what did you guys think about this book?
So wait, is Spider-Man 29 coming back on the same time storm that the future X-Men are coming back on?
Actually, yes. They do mention in here.
A lot of time jumping.
In the Marvel Universe...
That is impressive on a planning level.
They do say time
is... I'm impressed by that.
I feel like everyone in the Marvel office has got an email that said, hey guys, just keep in mind, time is fucked up and have a great fall. Or whatever. Because every book is like... Ugh. Can we confirm that?
Yep. Okay, we got
this confirmed from the audience.
Yeah, from the audience of maybe employees, who knows.
Yeah. Margaret's Corner, what do we think?
You got the good moment of someone hating their superpower.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Ooh.
All right, so he literally says having Spidey sense is the dumbest superpower because he doesn't even know what to do with it.
Wow. And see, that's the kind of negativity that I don't need to hear anymore.
I love this book. I think every issue is great and amazing and wonderful, and I want to marry it.
Seriously?
Great. Well, let me ask you, Alex, where was Strife in this book then?
Yeah.
Alex is going to try to walk off again and sit back down.
No. What's going on here is Doc Ock has killed Peter Parker. He's taken over Peter Parker's body.
Bullshit.
And finally, he's free of Peter Parker and can be the villain in a hero's body that he's always wanted to be. And I think it's cool. We're still seeing whether he's going to fall off on the side of being a villain or being a hero. And Dan Slott is doing an amazing job of really balancing that every single issue. It's awesome to read.
Nope. Yeah, and I have agreed with you for so long, but maybe it's because I like Spidey 2099 so much that to see him here, it's like when a jerky friend of yours meets your idol.
Your idol?
I mean, I don't have an idol because
Spider-Man
I'm an adult.
2099 is his
no,
idol.
No, I'm not saying he's my idol, but I mean, he lives in the
future.
We all know it's Jesus.
He lives in the future.
He lives in far less of the future now than when he was first introduced.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe but I'll get to meet him
like, 2099.
If I just stick around for 85 more years.
You could do it.
86 more years, yeah. Then I'm going to meet him.
I think you can do it.
The only thing I would...
What?
Baby. Hey, baby, Spider-Man 2099.
Yeah. Hello, my girl. Hello, hello. The only thing I would kind of agree with what you said, Zelbin, I think Dan Slott is a fantastic writer. He's a funny human being, but this is just not entertaining at all.
You're ridiculous.
What a weird... You're weird. It's weird for you to compliment it so hard just then and hate it so much. Seconds before.
Well, you know, sometimes writers make choices, you know, and it doesn't mean they're a bad writer, but they're making a choice because they want to see something play out. And you can either choose to be on board with that amazing writer, or you can be like, you know what, I'm going to sit this one out, out of your system.
Let us know when you make your decision.
And then we can jump back on board again.
Let us know when you make your decision with Spider-Man.
Okay. Yeah, please. Let everybody know.
Yeah, please.
All right, let's move on. This is my pick, Forever Evil, number one from DC Comics.
Wow. Yes. Not a lot.
No clapping. No clapping.
It was a light week. So this is DC's big crossover. Villains have taken over the DC universe.
Uh-huh. The new world order.
Between the end of Trinity War, where all the heroes were fighting, and the Crime Syndicate of America emerged, to now where they say the Justice League is dead, and they're like, hey, villains, go to it. Let's have fun. Let's take over everything. Mm-hmm. The thing that I really liked about this is I think the same thing that you like about Battle of the Atom. It feels like an old-school DC crossover to me, down to the Secret Society of Supervillains making the stupid mistake of not inviting Lex Luthor. Yeah. Why do you do that? I was reading this and I got like such an old school feel of like, oh, don't not invite Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
Now you screwed it up, dudes.
Yeah.
Now he's going to fuck you up.
Yeah, he is.
Wow. Lex Luthor's coming for you. He's going to fuck you up. Yeah, thank you.
Great.
Yeah.
Huge response from Lex.
Also, David Finch's art was very good.
The art is good. See, but I think that's funny because you like this story because you know how it's going to end, sort of. And I find that annoying.
Yep.
I find that annoying, being like, oh, Lex Luthor's going to win.
Right, and even somebody says in the issue, they're like, did they invite the Joker? You probably shouldn't invite the Joker.
Yeah.
So you know, by the end of the story, the Joker and Lex Luthor are going to fuck them up.
Yeah. Here's the thing. With this, I feel like it has all the things I don't like about old school crossovers, where all the villains are, like, in a room, and they're like, geez, who are these guys? We're friends. It's like they're all coworkers when they're, like, evil people or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, so like, let's all get like, in a room together. Yeah, the Penguin.
It's really, yeah, exactly.
And but, okay.
And it's a little crazy to me that all the villains are like, hey, what's up, man? I haven't seen you in a couple weeks. What's new in your life? Penguin, are you still murdering people? Oh, me too! That's crazy.
Okay, but all right, again, this was just on a ridiculous comic book level. The last couple of pages, Lex Luthor is in his tower. He's been beaten up a bunch.
Yeah.
Ultraman, who's the evil Superman, who thrives on darkness rather than the sun, takes the moon and pushes it over the sun. And Lex Luthor looks up in terror and says, this is a job for Superman.
Yeah, I mean, that was...
Moment.
That's come on.
That's
that was
so
a cool
come on.
Line. That was a cool line.
That is a great line.
I would...
sure.
Okay. Well, it is a tiny comic book. And you are sitting far away from
it.
Yeah, we could pass it around.
If you guys could all read this individually and get back to me.
Yeah. Astronomically,
could we split
speaking,
up the audience into doing the different parts? I mean, there are a lot of villains.
Let's, you know what? Let's put on a play. Astronomically speaking, I don't know how long this moon trick's going to last. Well, it was a good moment for you orbit heads in the audience. I think it's going to be a little...
certainly wreak havoc on all of the tides on Earth. Right?
Yes.
Didn't we affect all of that?
Now, this
Ellen?
Is a...
Come on, that's what makes the tides.
Yeah. Okay. Bad Superman hates surfers.
Yeah.
No,
not a fan of Lilo and Stitch.
Now, this is a first issue. You reading this for your fifth comic ever. Thoughts in Margaret's Corner?
This was the one I liked the least of the three.
Ooh.
Correct.
Wow. I sort of had the same feeling where I feel like when a bunch of villains get together, it shouldn't be that easy for them to get along with each other. Like, if you really have... Like, if you think that there's something very special about your evilness or your abilities or your idea for what's right, it's going to be very hard to be a collaborative team member.
Right.
And it seems like they all kind of got on board pretty fast with each other.
And I got to say, now that you say that, when like the Monocle shows up and he's like, yo, what's your deal? And then he gets killed. The Monocle? Who's this guy?
He's the Monocle.
He's the Monocle. He has an evil Monocle.
Yeah.
So
sees all. I enjoyed this book.
Very casual.
I enjoyed this book as kind of a fun book, like Zalbin is saying. I was a sucker for the spread, the double panel. I also really loved the last page. And it was just creepy to see Superman doing fucked up shit. So I kind of am on board. I know this is going to get bad soon, but right now I'm like, hey, this is enjoyable.
But I got to say, I think it's a weird event as well because all of the standalone issues are fill-in writers, for the most part, writing the villain issues. And it's like, why wouldn't we want to get the regular issue?
That's not true.
Well, it's not true 100%, I know. I said almost many of them are. Is there a writer in the crowd tonight? Oh, yes, I guess there is. I know it's not true across the board, but in a lot of them. And it's a letdown for me because I would much rather have guys like you, sir, who I don't know, doing that.
We tremendously respect.
Yeah. And I don't know, but tremendously respect.
Just
and welcome site. Your patronage often and often. But anyway, it was sort of a letdown because I'm great, another an issue written by this writer that I have been following in this comic, writing the villain side, and then it's not quite.
Yeah, that would be enjoyable if like Scott Snyder was writing like the Batman and then also the Joker side, and then you know that would be cool.
If only Scott Snyder could write a Joker story.
Well, how many tie-ins are there? The single issues?
I would 52. Guess 52. 52. I'm going to guess 52.
Oh, well, there you go. There's the explanation right there.
Too many issues.
Yeah.
Anyway,
too many for the usual writer to do those as well as whatever his or her own work.
Oh, it's not
is.
52 tie-ins per comic book. It's 52 total.
No, I got that.
Oh, okay.
Still, yeah. Each writer is responsible for 52 issues a week. So finally, that's going to keep you off the streets.
Oh, man,
wow.
Yeah.
It's going to keep me on drugs, though, which kind of defeats the purpose of keeping me off the streets.
We're sorry.
That's weird. He wrote 52 comic books, but most of them involved beheadings at the end.
Yeah. He's starting to hit a little pattern.
There
John
Milius. All right, John and that's it for that's it for John Milius and comic books, also known as the Stack. All right, guys, we're going to move to our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions, and for that, we're going to go over to Boothman.
Boothman.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Boothman.
I hope everyone's having a great time.
Yeah, everyone is.
Are you like the Eeyore Boothman? What's going on?
I'm fine. Be quiet.
All right.
What death in comics would you make irrevocably and permanent, and why?
Oof.
Ooh.
What death would we make irrevocably permanent?
The first thing.
One that's already happened or one that hasn't happened?
Your call.
So I guess the choice.
Peter Parker, probably, for you.
Oh, fuck you. The first thing coming to my mind is Captain America, just because that was such an amazing event and so well written afterwards that when it came back, it almost lost steam for me when Captain America came back.
So you wish Captain America was dead forever?
Oh, fuck you. When you say it like that, it sounds awful.
Well, you said it the regular way first.
I just think they did his death so well.
So you want it to be a real exclamation point on the career of Captain America?
Worry. Now that I'm, okay, maybe not.
Okay.
You talked me out of it. I was
trying to clarify your statement.
All he did was ask you two questions.
Yeah.
I broke him. I finally broke the Pete.
There you
man.
Go. By the way, this doesn't spell well for your mayoral bid, Pete.
Yeah. Oh, very New York centric topic.
Yikes.
Great campaign, though. You ran a great campaign.
Yeah. What about you guys? Comic book characters you'd want to stay dead forever?
Uncle Ben.
Great answer.
He's the whole reason for Peter's existence. When, Jordan can attest this, we did a couple comics where we had to find people to populate the afterlife, and it's very hard to populate a comic's afterlife because there's nobody there.
Yeah.
They all got brought back.
They're all waiting in line for an escalator.
It's the same seven people. It's Uncle Ben and that old guy got hit by a car in Daredevil number one and so on and so forth.
No, he's coming back. He's going to be back.
Yeah,
villain.
And he hates
what
Daredevil.
This is a thought. What if Uncle Ben came back, but he was bad? Oh. Right? Like he was a bad guy? That would really motivate Peter, right?
Interesting.
That'd be really interesting.
Dr. Octopus could take over him and Peter Parker.
Oh, two brains at the same time.
No problem.
The man with two brains.
I mean, I'm a big fan of moving, let's try out some new characters. So when a character dies, I think it should, at least let it rest for a while.
Yeah.
What's a while? More than a year?
Yeah, several years, and try out a new character, similar. Maybe you latch onto a similar theme, or whatever you want to write about, and just give it a try, because we've been sort of playing with the same toys for the last, 50 years.
So what's your answer?
All of them.
Cool.
Can I say all of them?
Great.
You
I would say
kill everybody and start fresh.
Yeah.
If there's one character that could stay dead forever, I'd probably say the Monocle.
Oh, wow. Jeez, you must be having a real hate.
Best week of my life.
Yeah, finally.
Cool. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
Why is Fred's name not Von Lente? Don't you think that would be cooler?
What?
Duh.
Answer that question, Fred.
This speaks a lot to your personal continuity.
I'm Dutch. I think Von is German, so I think that's why my name is Van Lente, not Von Lente.
Okay. Didn't answer if that would be cooler.
Oh, it's a two. What was it?
Wouldn't that be cooler?
Oh, I don't know. My first name is Fred. How cool can I really get, name wise? I mean, seriously.
Drop Dead Fred. That's a pretty cool guy.
Wow, that's your standard, really?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Alex
Given the monocle.
In a perpetual loop.
Monocle, Stripe, Drop Dead Fred.
Bless you.
Great. I'm Kurt.
Yeah, you're Fred.
Cool. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's go to the next question.
Thank you, stranger, for that question.
This is kind of a strange question.
Oh, good.
Okay. If you die tomorrow,
sure,
and
I'm
could
listening.
Only read one ongoing comic for the rest of time.
Oh,
what would be your choice? So I guess when you're in hell.
Oh, okay.
What comic are you reading?
That's a big assumption.
No, it isn't.
So I'm sorry. It's you die tomorrow and then you could read one comic versus you have just tonight to read as many comics as you possibly can.
No, I think you get that one comic ongoing in hell or wherever you leave your afterlife.
Wait, so do you get to pick the writer and the artist?
No, you just get the title.
The comic, just the comic.
Okay.
And this is assuming that comic is not canceled.
No, it's going to go on forever, but writers and artists are probably going to change.
Well, choose wisely. Don't choose a comic like it's going to end in a limited series.
Sure. I mean, probably Spider-Man.
Yeah?
I feel like Spider-Man is one of the most consistent comic books.
Used to be.
We're really playing in PC.
For decades at this point.
Yeah.
And, yeah, if I'm going to choose something, it would probably be that.
That's pretty good. I would choose the X-Men, an X-Men title. I feel like that's...
Oh, choose one X-Men title.
Yeah, well, that's a little tricky.
One.
They do change a lot.
Yeah,
okay, Uncanny
one.
X-Men. What happens when they get renumbered? Do we have to go to a different part of hell or whatever?
You just dissolve.
Okay, cool. Ah, shit. All right.
Which may be better than hell, though, if you think about it, if you're in constant torment.
Yeah, yep. That's true. Well, constant torment, you want to read the worst possible character. Then, right?
You guys, any thoughts? Comic book you wouldn't want to read in hell.
Does the New York Times count as a comic?
Ooh. No.
Nowadays, yeah. Nowadays it does.
What does that mean?
I think you mean the New York Post. Margaret?
The Hulk?
Cool. Yeah. Hulk, nice. Yeah. Real rageaholic.
Nice.
Did you answer,
Pete? There's nothing wrong with being a rageaholic.
I'll talk to anyone else in the world. I'll tell you the opposite. What did you have for your answer?
Man, I've been going back and forth on this.
What do you think, like Frank Castle?
Please ironically pick Captain America.
Yeah, that would be a weird...
Just can't reconcile.
I mean, part of me wants to say Batman, part of me wants to say Punisher. I would have said Jonah Hex before they ruined it, but, you know, I don't know.
It'd be tricky to read Punisher if they did another Frankencastle thing in hell.
Yeah?
No, that wouldn't happen.
I mean, we really took this question to say that we're all going to hell. So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, there we
well,
go.
In my hell, I would have to read Frankencastle. That's basically what it is.
Cool. Right. Raise your hand if you ask this. You're going to hell. All right, let's get the next question.
Let's pretend a different Spider-Man villain swaps minds with Peter Parker.
Great.
Ooh, good question.
Who would you prefer to do it, and how does it play out?
Nice.
Oh, boy.
That's a good question. Rhino.
Rhino?
Rhino?
It would end very quickly. Yeah. It would play out.
I did a story in Amazing Spider-Man where Chameleon impersonated Peter Parker for an issue. That was
Which
fun.
Which is a great story.
I love all those. And you know what? Chameleon's one of the few villains when he takes over Peter Parker, I'm like, oh, it stresses me out. It really stresses me out because he's going to blow it.
Sort of a psycho, yeah.
Yeah. Margaret, what about you? What villain would you want to see switch with Spider-Man?
The devil from Book of Job in the Bible. Wow. I just want to see how far things can get before everyone gives up.
Yeah, it would be a really interesting
So he would drive J. Jonah Jameson crazy just by asking all these crazy questions.
Yeah, a lot of questions, a lot of ash heap, a lot of lamentations of women, that kind of stuff.
Sure. Oh, cool.
Wow,
good
you are haunted by number
Pete,
posts.
What about you? What villain would you want to see?
Oh, Pete's in a state of...
He's in like a fugue state right now. I'll just answer for you. The Punisher.
He's not a villain, asshole.
Uh-oh.
Matter of opinion.
But he started out as a Spider-Man villain, though.
There you go.
Yeah, what about that, Pete?
What?
Fuck you, Pete.
Punisher started as a Spider-Man villain.
Sure.
Thank you for finally saying
that. Started.
Yeah.
Is the key word.
And ended.
Well...
And continues
to
be.
You can say whatever you want about first impressions, but you do get a chance to improve who you are inside.
Wow, Pete's childhood advice corner.
I mean, obviously I don't want any of these because I want Spider-Man to be Spider-Man.
Answer the question.
All right, Doom.
Doom?
Dr. Doom?
You want a worse villain than Dr. Octopus? But another doctor, interesting.
Huh.
Another doctor, because you want to have good
I just
medicine.
Think Doom's a cool villain, and if...
Hey, remember, Doom got kicked out of college for experimenting with Satan, so his doctorate's bullshit, man. Yeah, that guy is not a real doctor.
That's a great point.
Octopus, Doc Ock graduated.
Okay. Yeah. All right, man.
He's trying to stand up for credit universities here.
I don't hand out diplomas. I'm not in charge.
In the Marvel Universe.
Dr. Octopus did get his PhD. Peter Parker never got his PhD. Right.
Right. Okay.
He's ABD. It's tough.
Yeah. He's working. He's working.
ABD.
Yeah. You can get an honorary degree. Yeah. Did you answer?
I don't think I did. I mean,
say Stiltman. I
was
going to be ridiculous.
I mean, I think your
ridiculous.
Answer based on
the monocle.
Well, I was going to say Strife, actually.
Oh, Strife would be awesome. That'd be so great. He could finally
eye glow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What am
I doing here? I'm from a different part of the universe.
I don't know anything about this.
Yeah.
Where's Cable?
I just hate Cable because I'm
dead. I can't get at him, though. I think maybe he's dead. I'm not sure.
Is it still the 90s?
I don't know.
Is Third Eye Blind still
popular? Hey, can I order some pockets? Can we get a round of pockets for everybody?
Are CD-ROMs still a thing?
Small feet? Thanks. For the table.
Are we playing Myst?
Where are pockets? They're actually pouches, I think. But I think a pouch is just a pocket on the inside. As you always say.
I'm stealing that, like, yes. A guy who's gone back in time but keeps forgetting what period it is. Like, he always thinks he's in the wrong time period. Yeah. Like, Rubik's Cube, am I right? Yeah. Right? Right, 2013?
Time traveler.
Busted.
Yeah. Let's put on some Elvis
Dunkaroo?
Presley.
You guys like some? Can I change you these Dunkaroos? Yeah. What? No, you're not
the
from
most
here.
Iconic thing of the late 80s, early 90s were Dunkaroos.
Awesome. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Well, more questions. Let's do it.
Speed round.
Let's have a fun time.
I dropped one. What song would best sum up your favorite comic?
Wow.
Semi-charm kind of life.
That was my answer.
I know, I stole it.
Why would you dare say, I just said Third Eye Blind.
His is I Touch Myself.
Okay. Pete?
What was the question?
The question was, what is like wrong with Pete? Then I guess we answered, so we wanted
Third
to
Third Eye Blind is what's wrong with me?
that's what we thought.
To be perfectly honest, you should have never let them go on tour.
Yeah, those bastards are so good. Too many. Every song was a single on that first album.
What's the real question?
I don't remember.
what song best exemplifies your favorite comic book? Was that it?
Yeah.
What song?
Johnny Cash doing I've Been Everywhere is sort of Armstrong's unofficial theme from Archer and Armstrong.
Cool. Hallelujah for you, Myra.
Definitely.
But only a certain version.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Metallica's Enter the Sandman.
Because your favorite comic is Sandman?
Yeah.
No, but it's a good comic.
No, it's the Punisher.
Also, I feel Punisher's...
Technically, that could be the Punisher's theme song.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, interesting.
It's Martin Rivera. So.
Five for fighting Superman?
Because he likes Superman. Yeah. Because you like teams of five.
I love groups, boy bands, people who have emotions.
Great.
Like, wait, boy pants have emotions? Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
Did you say boy pants have emotions?
I said pockets or pouches on the outside.
That makes way more sense.
Cool. Let's get the next question.
This is another song question.
Great. Ooh.
If you could impregnate...
Oh, boy.
Any comic book character, who would you choose, and what song would you be listening to while it happened?
Wow.
That is a lot of information.
I feel like we
just lost it.
Yeah.
You get like one song, by the way, so think of length.
I feel like we need
Semi-Charm Kind of Life and Siren.
Wait, what?
I don't know.
There's
too much truth in that answer. First off, we should explain that... It's not like you can be like, this is a song I'm going to play, and now you're getting pregnant. That's not how biology tends to work.
This is how Salva did it.
Let's say you have a daughter. What song were you playing? What song were you playing?
I was going to say, I don't want to impregnate any real people, so yeah. why would I impregnate
my daughter? What was it? Enter Sandman?
Oh, that's why we call you Sandman. That's right.
Yep.
That makes
sense. And you'd impregnate... The Sandman. Thank you. Just think about that joke for a second.
Let's make a dream. Let's make a dream, baby.
Anyone? Right?
Yeah.
Because it's Enter Sandman.
No, we got it. We know what you. Pretty clear.
We know what you mean. The audience is revolted. That's why they're not laughing.
Would you shout, "I want more, Orpheus"?
It's about sex.
Jeez. It's just how so quickly you can come up with things like that. The gross stuff.
So quickly, you can come up with things.
Don't.
Don't say come up.
Right. We're going to edit that out.
Anybody else? Who would you impregnate?
Margaret, thoughts?
I thought you were your answer was Margaret.
Oh, he's got two more questions. Yeah. Let's get the next question.
We answered that one. Huh? Silver Sable would be obviously my choice.
And what would be playing?
The Devil Went Down to Georgia. Is that a weird answer?
This is an Akarian national.
I like that. Let's move on. Justin's like, by the way, Silver Sable. So I'll let everyone know.
Sure, everyone's cool. She runs a country that's hot.
Yeah. Devil Went Down to Georgia, sexiest song of all time.
You can do gymnastics to it at the Olympics.
Yeah, see? And that's sexual. Okay, let's get another question.
Cotton Eye Joe.
Do you read the text/page... Or look at the pictures in a comic first?
Ah, great question. I think about this a lot because I feel like people have different answers. I definitely read the text first.
Really?
Yeah.
Anybody? I'm just surprised by that. I kind of look at it first and then go back and read the text.
You're surprised by that? You mean that we do have different answers?
I guess so, yeah. I just assumed everybody did the same thing, but I guess
that's
not.
That's literally what I just said.
Well, if you don't mind a semi-serious answer, I think the eye is drawn to the largest thing in the panel, so if you have a page with a lot of text, you're going to go to the text first, but if you have a page with minimal text or medium text, then you're going to go to the images first.
Yeah. Margaret, what about you?
Always text first.
Yeah.
And sort of, because I have like bad reading habits, whatever is the closest to the center rail is what I wind up reading first accidentally.
Oh, really?
And I should say that ideally you shouldn't notice which one you're doing. I think in a really good comic that you're absorbed to, you won't notice which one you're reading first.
Well, when I see a splash page with no words, I panic and throw the comic away.
And then set it on fire.
Exactly.
I assume it's an ad.
Yeah.
Just
right.
I'm like, whoop, they forgot part of it.
That's what they want you to do.
Another ad for Wolverine. Blah.
I would say I usually... I would say I usually read the text first and then kind of look at the picture section. I try to, but my eye is drawn to the text because that's mostly most of the time where the story is. The one big exception, and I think I've talked about this on the show before, there's a graphic novel called Can't Get No by Rick Veitch that's about September 11th, and the words are all...
The words are all a poem.
Yeah. And the pictures actually tell the story. So I noticed that when I was reading that, I was reading the story through the pictures and sort of internalizing the words as I was going through.
Which by, design, I believe.
Yeah, which was a very interesting experience. We have one more question.
Great. Good question.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Frog, you know, Thor Frog or Frog Thor.
Do it.
Great. Is my favorite, most ridiculous thing in comics. That's pretty tame. What is yours? Because there's a lot of
favorite most ridiculous thing.
Where do you start?
Comic books.
We all collectively lean back into this one, like a comfortable couch.
There's so many.
I mean, I find comics to be pretty grounded.
Yep.
In relation to my personal life. So. Yeah.
I mean, just because I got the omnibus fairly recently, and I saw the movie because I'd never or I tried to see the movie, but then I turned it off in 10 minutes. I'm going to say Howard the Duck. Which is actually a very cleverly done sort of quote-unquote philosophical comic book about a cartoon duck trapped in the real world falling over every headline in the 70s, basically, and running into all these crazy adventures. And it's a great comic, and, yeah, the movies, yeah, I couldn't get, they had an HBO 3 or whatever, you know, during, on a matinee, I was like, no, maybe this is kitschy fun. Oh, God, no, just, you know, turn it off.
Just really terrifying.
Then I smashed my
TV.
What about you guys?
The first thing that jumped in my head, and I don't know why, is the fact that in whatever the crossover was, Marvel turned Speedball into Penance.
Yeah?
That was the most ridiculous, because they took like a character that was like just lighthearted and made him into this weird, tortured thing.
Well, and to your earlier point, they added spikes, right?
Internal spikes. Yeah. Spikes, so you knew that something bad was happening.
Right.
Yeah. Just like people with spiked hair. Don't go back to the
90s. Okay.
But yeah, I found that to be something that no fan wanted.
Maybe you should explain what the spikes did so people understand how fucked up it was.
He was involved in an incident that...
Just very quickly, Speedball, just to take a step back.
Okay, let's go all the way back. So the New Warriors is a comic.
I like how all of you preface that with very quickly.
First there's
very
a big
quickly.
Bang.
Peter
Parker
was a babysitter for a childhood of Robbie Baldwin and his cat.
Wait, you got to take it further. Who's Peter Parker?
Okay, Peter Parker.
Reed Richards designed this rocket, right?
Peter Parker is this character, like Dr. Octopus inhabits him. That's what he's known for.
Come on, come on.
Speedball was like a very fun-loving member of the New Warriors who bounced around kinetic energy, very like making jokes all the time. Confirmation.
He had a cat
who also had similar powers. And he was involved in an incident that blew up a big portion of Stamford, Connecticut. So he felt very guilty about that. So he punished himself by putting himself in a suit that had spikes on the inside. What's that called in
Iron Maiden,
one of those, and that also allowed him to trigger his power. So the only way his powers would work is if he just like spiked himself.
But so the question was, it was a thing.
It was like cutting turned into a superpower.
Exactly, and it was something that I thought was one of the more ridiculous things that no fan
asked for. No one wanted that.
Yeah, but the question was a thing you also like, right? Do you like penance?
No. In fact, I did see in the most recent issue of Nova that Speedball is back to being young, non-penance, regular Speedball.
Gotcha.
So I like that.
I would have to say the most ridiculous thing that I like is that when Wonder Woman is flying around in her jet, you can see Wonder Woman, even though she's in the invisible jet. And I feel like she should clearly be invisible, but because she's in a comic book, you have to show the jet.
And you can never see her luggage or her purse or whatever else she has in there.
And I think that is ridiculous.
At some point, somebody in a comic book should have some small kid point up and be like, she doesn't have a jet at all.
Yeah, in England, obviously. Yes. I like the fact that your big thing is that you don't see her luggage.
Well, I figured that. Well, the whole jet is invisible. Ergo, anything you put in the jet should be visible, right? Or she should be invisible.
It's true. Her lunch.
Or she can just fly while sitting down. If I was that kid, that's what I assumed. Like, what a weird position.
Also, Lobo. I love
Lobo in general.
Yeah. For me, fruit pies. I think I don't know if you guys read in the 80s and 90s, they had these Hostess fruit pies commercials that they had in the comic where the heroes would stop villains from stealing fruit pies and then they'd enjoy some delicious fruit pies. I love it every single time somebody writes that in continuity. I can't get enough of it.
There you go.
That's all.
Great answer.
Thank you very much. Margaret, do you
I'd probably go with something from Pete's favorite show, Arrow, which is how often someone on Arrow says, on that island. No matter what, it's like, you've been different since you were on that island. Ever since you got back from that island. And they say it like 50 times an episode, every episode. And it's like, because we know. He's on an island now. Yeah. Now he's back. And
I mean, I like to
he's
be
different.
Reminded of my vacations that when I get back as well.
All right, guys. Before we wrap up your audience questions, I want you guys to think of your favorite audience question. And I'll explain why. Because one lucky person, whoever had their favorite audience question, is going to win a gift certificate for two to Tours for Fun, which does a superhero tour of New York City. It takes you to all the sites for the movies, from the TV. It takes you to that island, which is Manhattan Island.
Yeah.
And shows you scenes from where...
Do we come up with that?
You can see where Spider-Man was filmed, Fantastic Four. They'll take you around to Doctor Strange's house.
Yeah.
You could see
there
you go. You could see the Lowe's and IHOP where Superman fought in Man of Steel.
That was in
you could see the U-Haul truck that he threw.
So we have an answer.
You have the answer. What's
Yes. Man, thank you.
The impregnation one.
Oh, who asked the impregnation one?
Raise your hand.
Raise your hand.
There we go. Great stuff.
All right, very cool. Come see us after the show. You're going to get two tickets for Tours for Fun. That's it for your audience questions. Thank you, Blue Man! Guys, we're going to move on to our next section, which we like to call Week in Geek.
Yeah.
And in the Week in Geek, we're going to talk about some geek culture topics, things that are happening elsewhere in the world of geek. First thing, Lock and Key. One of our favorite books around these parts. The Lock and Key comic is being adapted into a movie by Robert Orci and Alex Kurtzman, who did the Star Trek movies, who did the Transformers movies.
Great guys to have on your side. They also did the original. They produced the Lock and Key TV pilot.
Yeah, they did, which was excellent.
Yeah.
And so they're producing this movie. They confirmed that there is a writer who's in negotiations that they're very excited about. They won't say who it is. But they said that there is a writer on board. Obviously, that's a good thing because scripts do need to be written at some point.
That's how movies work.
But who do you guys want? Who's your ideal writer for this movie?
Joe Hill, wouldn't they?
No, it probably won't be him.
Why wouldn't it be him?
Because he doesn't have a lot of... hasn't written a lot of screenplays.
But he wrote the comic.
Right. Do you know how Hollywood works?
I know how it should work.
Okay, old
do you guys
man.
Read Lock and Key? If not, you should.
I haven't.
No.
Right. I have not. But I will say that those guys have a really good pilot coming out this year.
Well, who does?
Robert and Alex, who you mentioned.
Which one?
Sleepy Hollow. It looks like a piece of shit, but it's actually totally good.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Could you very quickly, for people who don't know, explain the concept of Sleepy Hollow, because it's the craziest thing.
So it's on Fox, which should make you skeptical. And so it's like Legend of Sleepy Hollow, like Ichabod Crane, guy wakes up 100 years later.
Rip Van Winkle.
No, that's Rip Van Winkle. But in this one, right, so it's combining, so we have Ichabod Crane waking up 100 years later, there's a headless horseman, and this time he has, like, sawed-off shotguns, and, like, in addition to his big, like, axe thing, he has, like, all these guns.
Cool, all right.
And so,
which he pulls from his head stump, like...
Yes, exactly that.
Awesome.
That's like amazing. A documentary about the show.
Awesome.
Right, so, and then also it's about... So the TV show then also includes the Bible. So also this is like part of the Horseman of the Apocalypse. And so the Headless Horseman is the first Horseman of the Apocalypse. Ooh. And so it's all, and it's like set in Westchester, right? Sleepy Hollow. So then like, so he's like from the past and he's like very sarcastic and chatty, sort of like a Sherlock Holmesy type
so
of like.
So are you saying the writers Googled like famous horses and were like, oh, look at all these great horses.
Basically, but they turned it into like a sarcastic, awesome show. I really liked it. I couldn't believe it.
Cool. Yeah. So it's Washington Irving time traveling from the past to battle the Headless Horseman and other evil in Sleepy Hollow using George Washington's secret Bible, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, also his wife is a witch.
So basically,
from
like,
the past.
Once Upon a Time is doing well. Let's take everything else and call that a TV show.
Yep. But it turned out great. It gives me hope.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I have.
Well, why haven't we been talking about this already?
First of all, I can't, like, I can't spoil anything.
We just want to know good or bad.
I didn't like it, you guys.
Oh, no.
I think it has potential, but as far as, like, a pilot goes, it was, like, a little boring. Mm. It's like, ooh, tell me more about how the bureaucracy works. It's like, oh, I don't
uh-oh.
Care.
This
how
actually
the
sounds right up my alley.
Yeah. Great news.
So there's, like, a little bit too much explaining about, like, well, first when this happens, and then, like, you have to move up the ranks this way, and he's the guy who doesn't take shit from anybody. It's like, I think we can figure that out through the way they behave over the course of these 44
minutes.
Sounds
like actually dealing with Marvel Studios.
That's a documentary. Just seeing the poster go up all over New York in the past week or so, the cast looks like a cast from a CW show, A, and B, they all look like they're a family. They all have brown hair and look exactly alike. Which I was like, what is this cast?
Yeah.
No one looks different.
Yeah. That's a common issue for pilots, though, that you get like a severe case of same face.
Yeah.
So it's
an
issue for like Nashville or Pretty Little Liars. We also have a lot of same face of, oh, he's like a handsome dude.
Not
it's like, how handsome? It's like, like medium handsome.
Yeah.
Like not crazy handsome, but like not Uggs.
Not Sleepy Hollow, though, because they have a no face.
They have a no face.
There you go.
Right. Oh, nice. Way to turn it back around.
Thank you very much. So I think we established who we want as the writer on the Lock and Key movie. Let's move on. Marvel announced they are doing all new Marvel Now.
Yeah.
Marvel Now was so successful. They're doing all new Marvel Now, launching it with a bunch of Point Now titles, which makes sense as a number, I'm sure, somewhere.
Yeah.
And
you're
going to get Avengers 24 Point Now. You're going to get all new Invaders 1 point now?
Isn't point now
no,
a score
just
in tennis?
Number...
Is that what I'm...
Point now.
I think I just...
Well, did you guys take AP trigonometry?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
No.
Well, you studied now numbers.
I always had a remainder of point now.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay. So you get All New Invaders, number one. This is written by James Robinson, which is kind of, I think, the big news there.
Oh, wow.
And then there's also going to be Inhuman, number one, by Matt Fraction, which follows a bunch of new Inhumans... hanging out in New York City and just living and loving.
And the other two that I think were announced were Black Widow and Silver Surfer. I think Silver Surfer, very excited for that.
Yeah.
Hopefully. I love a Silver Surfer comic.
Awesome. Cool. Next thing to talk about, another item that came up this week. As we all know, Ben Affleck is your new Batman, so congratulations
on
that.
He's your new Batman.
Yes. He's the people's Batman.
Yes. Wait, he is?
No.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. But it turns out that Josh Brolin was actually offered Batman first.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So what do you guys think? Should Jonah Hex been Batman?
Pete, that's
Pete.
Clearly.
We're going to turn to our Josh Brolin expert.
I would actually prefer Ben Affleck.
Really?
Yeah. Why, you don't like Brolin?
You're the only one.
Okay.
Yeah. I would want Josh Brolin if he was doing his George W. Bush stick from W, the Oliver Stone movie that he was in.
I don't know, I feel like once you're arrested once for domestic violence, I'm not super interested in watching you play Batman.
Oh.
Sorry, Josh Brolin, you've been arrested twice for domestic violence.
Yeah!
Fuck you, Josh Brolin, you don't get to be Batman. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, there you go. And that's it for the Week of Geek! Guys, we're going to move on to our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to my best friend.
Oh, man.
What?
Justin Tyler.
Oh.
No, Pete LePage. No, Pete LePage. Pete LePage. All
right, guys, this is trivia where we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like $25 free? Civil Rage. First hand up, guy. Come on up here.
Awesome. Come on up.
Come on up. First hand up, guy.
Pro shirt. What does that say? Proshki Bakery. Okay.
Nice. Oh, wow. Very.
Oh, thank
what you. What is your name, sir?
Jeremy.
Jeremy, audience. Audience, Jeremy. So this is your $25 that I'm sure you're going to win.
Hope so.
So how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers, get all three questions right, and you win $25. All right? So this week's trivia is on This Week in Comics.
Yep.
So as long as you read every comic book that came out this week, you'll be fine.
All of them. All
right, here we go. Question number one. In chew number 36, we get to meet Blank, a member of the Chew family that also has powers. Is it A, Sage, B, Salt, or is it C, Steve Harvey? So it's either A, Sage, which is the correct answer, or it's B.
A.
A is correct. All right. Nice job.
Awesome.
Way to read those.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, here we go. And Invincible number 105. Invincible is multitasking. Doing what while stopping a bank robbery? Is it A, making deposit, B, talking on the phone, or is it C, breaking bad? So it's either A, making a deposit while stopping a bank robbery, or B?
I'll go with B.
B is correct, yes, talking on the phone. In Trillium number 2, we find out that Trillium is actually Blank. Is it A, a flower, B, a person, or C, is it a Game of Thrones?
Okay.
So it's either A, a flower, or B.
I'll go with A.
A is correct as well, sir.
Whoa.
Jeremy, you smoked it.
Incredible.
Congratulations, sir.
Great job, Proshki. Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is a new comic book day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I am looking forward to Walking Dead number 114. A lot of crazy stuff has been happening. Maybe the main character of the whole book is going to get killed in this issue.
He definitely won't.
I don't know. I mean,
he's in ads for upcoming issues, so probably not.
You never know. Comic is called The Walking Dead.
So he could clearly
be walking into an advertisement.
Yeah, they did say, they had a bubble coming out of his mouth, and he said, I'm walking here.
Yeah.
Dead.
Classic. Wow. Great stuff. Again, very interesting.
Justin, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Lock and Key Alpha. Very excited to see what's next in the Lock and Key world.
Cool. And this is the second to last issue.
Yes, it is.
Oh, man. And it's $8.
That means it's going to be really big. It's going to bring, I believe this is sort of the conclusion of the story, and Omega is a sort of an epilogue.
Yep. Yeah, there we go.
The Mega Key is kind of the hero key. So
now, I may or may not have read it, and none of us appear in the issue.
Fuck.
Well, that's fine, but what did you think of the issue?
I'll tell you next week.
Oh, wow, what a tease. Yeah. Speaking of the
movie, really good.
I wonder who's going to play us in the Lock and Key movie.
Well, I'm playing Dr. Zalbin. I already have an option.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I doubt it.
That's what they say in Hollywood, right? An option?
Yeah, an option. That's what they say. Oh, cool. I think you're thinking of Contra.
I'm looking forward to, and I'm pretty surprised about this, but Detective 23.2, Harley Quinn, is coming out tomorrow. There was a lot of controversy over the weekend about a page that DC put up for an art contest that's from an upcoming Harley Quinn book. Lots of people very upset about it. Writer Jimmy Palmiotti came out to defend it, and I think, honestly, rightly so. But this book, not written by Jimmy Palmiotti, written by Matt Kint, and it goes back to the origin of Harley Quinn, and it is great.
Oh, cool.
Really good. I have been pretty upset about the depiction of Harley Quinn at times, I think, in the New 52. And this feels like one of the first really good Harley Quinn stories in a while.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
Very good. Definitely pick it up. Fred, what are you looking forward to?
I'm most looking forward to Boxers and Saints, which is the new graphic novel from Gene Yang. It's about the Boxer Rebellion in China in the turn of the 20th century. So, yeah. And he's a great writer and artist. He does the Last Avatar comics, but he also did American Born Chinese. Yeah. Is what he's most known for, so I'm really super looking forward to that.
Great. And plug your stuff. What should people be checking out?
Well, Brain Boy number 1 comes out tomorrow, and Archer Armstrong number 13 comes out tomorrow, and that's the conclusion of the current story arc.
Number 12 was awesome, by the way.
Thank you very much. And 13 has some cool shit.
Great. Awesome. Margaret, what about you? What are you looking forward to?
Obviously, Brain Boy number 1. You guys.
Yes, Margaret. That's so nice of you. Thank you. I'll owe you a beer.
Yes.
Yep. Great. And plug your stuff. What should people check out?
I write about TV every day on vulture.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at MarginCharge.
Also, you do an amazing show.
Right. I run a comedy karaoke show in Brooklyn called The Jukebox, where everyone tells a story and then karaoke sings a song.
We're in Brooklyn.
At Union Hall.
Oh, awesome. Oh, that's okay, cool. Awesome.
It's really fun.
Yeah, it's a great show.
All right, very cool.
You're all right at stories, but bad at karaoke.
What?
I'm asking for a friend. What if you're all right at telling a story, but
a really good friend of his,
but terrible at singing a song, like in karaoke?
The point of good karaoke is not to be a good singer; it's to be a committed performer.
Okay,
that's what I tell everyone on Earth.
I'm there.
Great. Okay, guys. A couple of things.
Can I do that? Can I call dibs on that?
There's a theme every month, so as long as it fits the theme.
If it's anything about like in news for some sort of a cat or domestic animal, sure. Then I'll do that.
Couple of things before we go. Next week on the show, Chris Duffy, who is editor and creator of Fairy Tale Comics, is going to be here. It is an awesome, awesome anthology, so I'm very excited to talk about that. Pete?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to hear about all the amazing guests we have on the show. Also, check out the Big City Dare to Draw.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out, comicbookclublive.com, nerdist.com for the podcast and more. I want to thank our fabulous interns, Iman Bell, Tamar Dar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, and Riley Trahan. A couple of other people we want to thank. We want to thank Fred Van Lente for being on the show. Margaret. Bootman. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. in New York City, totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks, everybody. Appreciate it.
What switches on these mics?